Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to UFO Think Tank with your host, Alejandro Rojas.
Hello, everybody. This is Alejandro Rojas with UFO Think Tank, and we've got an exciting show this evening. What's on everybody's mind? Obama. What about Obama? What's this guy going to do? What do we get ourselves into? What's going on here? What's he thinking? What are his people thinking? Everybody wants some insight into the future here. And, well, we've got some for you. Today, we've got, of course, from our perspective, UFOs, Obama and his administration and their connection to UFOs. And believe it or not, there is a lot. If you're into this field, you probably know some of it. You probably know about the Clintons and their interests. You probably know about John Podesta. You probably know about Richardson, the governor of New Mexico, and some of these other things. But we're going to put it all together here for you this evening with our excellent guest, Grant Cameron. Grant Cameron is actually a Canadian. Interesting enough, in order to get the best information on U.S. presidents, we got to go to Canada, outside of the country. But Grant Cameron is a great researcher. If I were to have a UFO 101 course, I would require that everybody go to presidentialufos.com and read from beginning to end Grant Cameron's website, because he really chronicles throughout the decades what the presidents and their connections were to UFOs, and there's a lot of insight in there. Not only does he do this, but Grant Cameron is one of the best investigators in the field. He really goes digging deep for those kernels of knowledge that other people can't find. He follows up, he makes phone calls to these people, and he's been able to get some excellent interviews and some really shocking and revealing information, including in our topic here tonight. So there might even, you know, he's learning new stuff all the time, so maybe we'll get some even newer information on Obama. People are debating right now, you know, is Obama going to be the disclosure guy? Is he setting himself up to be able to disclose UFOs to the public? And who knows? I don't know. People are on both sides of that. I'm a little skeptical, been here for a while, but still, the connections with his administration and this subject are pretty incredible. And we'll get into that in just a minute when we get to our host. But I do want our guests, but I do want to go over some UFO news. UFOs are in the news all the time. Some people don't think so. Some people think there's not much going on here. But those people are wrong. And actually, unfortunately, I'm going to start with a couple of deaths that have happened recently with people, very credible people, who were interested in this field. Starting with Maury Albertson. He is a co-founder of the Peace Corps, so a very obviously intelligent and warm-hearted person. He just passed away this week, and he was actually involved with an organization that I'm helping out with, which is the ISGC, the Institute for the Study of Galactic Civilizations. And the idea here, of course, we all have different perspectives. My idea is that, okay, they're visiting us. We've got these craft here, and they have pilots. So what's going on here? Are they communicating with people? Are they not? There's a lot of people, hundreds, thousands, maybe even millions of people who have claimed to be communicating with extraterrestrials. Are they? Are some of them? It would make sense if they really are coming that maybe some of these are people are telling the truth. So maybe we ought to listen to what some of these people have to say. That was my perspective, and that's the idea behind this organization. And Maury Albertson felt the same way. He felt that, you know what, he even more strongly, many of these people are probably telling the truth, and we need to hear what they have to say. And that's what that organization was about. And he was the president of that organization. So luckily, I'm very fortunate to have been able to had a couple meetings with him before he passed. But unfortunately, he is gone now, so we'll just have to pick up the torch and keep running with this very important subject. Another passing that happened recently was astronomer Thomas C. von Flandern. And this astronomer was well known with his peers, and he felt that from the pictures that we have taken on Mars, that it did show evidence of artificiality, that many of those structures that they're looking at don't seem to be just natural, that some of them possibly are artifacts from a bygone civilization on Mars. So obviously, he's very controversial amongst his peers, but he felt strongly that way, as do many others, and unfortunately, he's passed recently as well, but it does demonstrate in this instance, again, just like last week, that there are scientists involved with this field and interested in this field, even though that's another misnomer that scientists do not pay attention to this. More news. A story I brought to you last week was about this wind turbine and the UK, these huge, you know, big turbine that for some reason, you know, overnight, it just crashed and kind of broke apart. So they didn't know why. They've been looking into it. Some of the pieces are bent and stuff like that. They don't see anything. If something crashed into it, which most likely seems to be the answer, they don't see parts of whatever crashed into it around. Doesn't make sense that it was wind or anything, or a bird. You would find bird pieces around or anything else. Some people are speculating perhaps it was a unmanned vehicle, that's police fly around in Britain, but still, you think you would find evidence of pieces around, and they haven't found that. However, there are witnesses that say they saw UFOs or bright lights around it the night that this happened. So I've got posted, and if you're looking at UFO Think Tank right now, you're listening to the show via my website, then you can just scroll down towards the bottom and see these stories. Or if you're on the Blog Talk, you can go over to the right on the links and go to the UFO Think Tank website and look at these stories there. So a lot of stories on some more of these witnesses that saw something around that wind turbine. Other news, we've got sightings all over the place. And, you know, as I keep bringing to you guys, the UK, Britain is crazy over UFOs, especially because the British government has been releasing UFO files, and people have been reporting UFOs like crazy, and the newspapers are actually covering these stories. So I posted up a news story. The latest news is that local UFO investigators are getting so overwhelmed with UFO reports out there that they're speculating that this year they may have at least one report a day coming into them, which is a lot of reports for them. So this is from the Daily Star. The Daily Star, funny enough, is one of their top papers, and it also has lots of topless women in it. So I guess topless women is big news in the UK. And so if you want to go look at this story, you know, for the guys out there, you may want to go look at the story. And if you accidentally click one of the other links, you know, you can blame it on me. Say you're looking at UFOs. You're looking at some UFO scientific study. Australia also has a couple sightings going on this week that made the news, and New Mexico. Actually, a gentleman, Roger Marsh, who's going to be helping out with MUFON as Director of Communications. I'm the Director of Public Education. He's going to come on board, help us out with the website and this other stuff. And he is the Chicago Examiner. So you may know about the Examiner. It's this online news source where they get a lot of local people to write information, and they have local examiners. We've got Jeff Peckman, who's actually going to be on UFO Not Radio tomorrow night on Blog Talk. You can see a link for UFO Not Radio also on the right-hand side of my Blog Talk, or you can go to the bottom of my UFO Think Tank to see the UFO Not Radio, but he'll be on tomorrow. But he's a Denver UFO examiner. Roger Marsh is a Chicago UFO examiner, and Roger's been posting a lot. Both of them have been posting a lot of great information, but Roger has a detailed report on a sighting in New Mexico with a lot of pictures up there, and he also has some video from other stuff, and these are cases that he's grabbed from the MUFON report database. And remember, with MUFON, you can go to the MUFON website and you can search all of the UFO sightings that we receive there, and you can look at the pictures or the video if the witness submitted some through the website. So that's a great feature, and there really are. You go through there and there's some very interesting, hard to explain pictures. But the last piece of news I wanted to read relates to our guest tonight, and that is petitioning Obama to address UFOs. There's a site, and this was actually one of the things that I got from the Paradigm Research Group, which is a group ran by Steve Bassett, who calls himself the only UFO lobbyist, and I believe he is the only UFO lobbyist. But there's a website called change.gov, and they have a citizens briefing book. And what they're doing is having people post on their site the top issues that they want Obama to look into in 2009 or address, things that they think are really important for the country. And funny enough, last time I looked into it, decriminalizing marijuana was the top of the list. I think next are some pretty good ideas also, which are getting a national light rail or some kind of national busing type of system so we can get off of cars. And then also another great idea that was up there is just being a green country, us trying to lead the world and the green effort as opposed to kind of being at odds with that effort in the last 8 years. But one of the top 30 in the list is disclosure of UFO information. I think the one that's reached closest to the top is actually releasing the truth embargo on UFOs, which is a term that I believe Stephen Bassett coined, the truth embargo. So you can go on there. You can go see this website. You can go vote for what you think are important issues. They're going to take these issues, and they're going to present them to Obama with the hopes that he will be able to look at this and actually address some of these issues. So we shall see, but it is great. Literally thousands of things posted on here, and it looks like tens of thousands of people who have gone here and voted on these issues. The UFO issue is in the top 30, so that's wonderful to see. Maybe we can push it a little higher, but you would think that, you know, if they're really going to take this stuff over to Obama, then they would include the top 30, the top 50 issues, so he can take a look at those. And really, in that top 30, there's a repeat. A lot of them are just repeats of those top three issues I talked about. So in there, there's like three issues related to marijuana and three issues related to a national light rail train type of system. And so if they really compiled all of those issues into one, the UFO issue would probably be more like in the top 20. So it's great to see that it's so high, and it's interesting to see that so many people are concerned about this issue. And as I've been bringing on this show, as Jesse brings to you on UFO Not Radio, and as we bring to you with MUFON in our symposiums and all of those other great hardworking people, there really is something to this issue. And many of the people in Obama's administration would agree with us. And Grant Cameron, our guest for this evening, would agree with that. And Grant, are you on there with us?
Yeah, I am, Alejandro. Pleasure to talk to you. Good evening.
All right. It's a pleasure to talk to you, too.
Yeah,
so
thanks.
Happy to have you on the show.
Thanks for the fine introduction. Now it looks like I'm going to have to produce.
Yeah.
After that,
so you better,
great.
You know,
I guess you first want to talk about Obama.
Yeah, you know, I've noticed that you just put up a site, BarackObamaUFO.com. And
yeah,
that's
that was actually, yeah, my the guy that does my websites. I know you do a lot of people's websites. I have a guy by the name of Paul Robinson who does my websites, or two of my websites, two of my three websites. And he helped put up the Hillary Clinton UFO .net site. That was when Hillary was running. And then he suggested we put up the Obama site, and I really didn't respond. He went and put it up himself, and now I've sort of joined him. So it's actually his site, and I'm a partner on
okay.
it.
Okay, cool, great. I know you're the authority in this arena. So when it comes to Obama, okay, we'll get into it, because there's a lot of information when it comes to Obama, because we've got to talk Podesta with his history, the Clintons and their history, Richardson with their history. But let's maybe start with Obama himself. Have you ran across anything that shows that Obama has any interest in this subject at all?
If you go back, I did a lecture about four times last spring where I went through all the different people who are campaigning for president, and I reviewed Obama's history and whether he'd faced the UFO question. And basically at that point, and I don't think really anything's really changed, Barack Obama really had very little interest in outer space. In fact, one of the things he got into a lot of trouble with was that in his platform for education, he had actually talked about the fact that he was going to take money from NASA and use it to finance the education budget. And he got in a lot of trouble, and they actually took that out of the platform. And I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that Florida became a swing state. And in order to win the presidency, you had to get Florida, and it didn't look very good, you know, putting down NASA. So then he sort of changed his tune, and he started talking about how he had been there in Hawaii when the astronauts came back on his grandfather's shoulders, and he was interested in space. So he's switched, and that's one thing I'll give Obama, is that he can see which way the wind is blowing, and he will switch. I mean, if there is a movement, he'll jump on the movement. He's sort of an opportunist type politician. That's the way I sort of see him. And mm-hmm. So you have things like the site that you were talking about, and I have it on my BarackObamaUFO.com site. I have the actual links where you can actually link right to the questions, and then you up these questions, you vote for them, and it gives it votes. So I think there is a situation where if there was enough pressure put to bear, Obama might move on the issue. And as I've said, there's always been this discussion about whether it's Obama or whether it's the government disclosing. I've always said the UFO issue is not unlike any issue in America, whether it's gay rights or women's rights to vote back in 100 years ago or whatever. The way things work in politics, from my viewing, and I think I'm right, is that politicians, whether it's Obama or the Congress or whoever, work under pressure. That if there's enough pressure on them, then it's worth votes, and they will move on the issue. So that is still the ultimate thing, is you've got a lot of different issues that the president faces, and if you've done a lot of studying of the presidents, or even a little bit of studying, you'll see that the president has just literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of issues to deal with on every single day. He has a bunch of people advising him. He really hasn't got any time to read a lot of stuff. He has to sort of accept what people are telling him, and basically look at the polls. And I'm preparing a lecture right now that I will be presenting in Ozark and wherever else I lecture this year, where I actually quote his former minister, Jeremiah Wright. I've got a video clip when he was at the National Press Club, and he's asked about Barack Obama switching on support of him, where he talked about him as being the mentor and the inspiration for one of his books and all this sort of stuff. And then suddenly when he gets into trouble with what Wright is saying, he drops him, throws him under the bus. And so they ask Jeremiah Wright, what do you think about Barack Obama cutting you loose and now sort of putting you down? And he said, I'm a minister. I do what a minister does. Barack Obama is a politician, and he does what politicians do. He reads the polls, and he reacts according to the polls. And that's the way politicians work. So Barack Obama will read the polls as anybody else, and once the UFO issue is something that people are creating a lot of pressure on, then he will make a move. The same as, I don't know if you've heard the interview with James Fox, I think it was on the Paracast, where he talks about he was on the Hill in Washington, and he was handing out his out-of-the-blue video to all the different congressmen. And he said that he was told by all the congressmen that they would move once there was a groundswell of support. And if you remember back, Stephen Greer in 2001, when he was up on the Hill and he was pushing it, he was told by one very famous congressman who was really in favor of the issue, sort of the old idea, you get the people and I'll lead the parade. But that's what it basically comes down to, that it has to be votes. So Barack Obama is in a situation where he will react if there's enough pressure put to bear.
See, I agree with you 100% that it really relates to how much pressure these guys got. And right now they don't have a lot of pressure. Now it's encouraging to see that this website, the citizen.org, where you could go vote for things, or change.org, that the issue is so high. And that's why I think it's hopeful. It'd be great if, you know, this petition, this thing they're putting together has any influence. But right now we don't have a lot of pressure. I think we have more. I personally think last year was a great media year when it came to UFOs. You had a lot of people talking more seriously about them. Stephenville became a huge issue. So I'm more hopeful that, but that's why I think we have to get into the media's mind. We have to really get them talking about it, get the public talking about it, and build that pressure. And that's where I don't see a lot of pressure right now headed that direction.
Yeah, like I have a number of times I've lectured and I've talked about the sort of the general history of presidential politics in regard to UFOs, and people are often very surprised to learn that only twice of all the presidents since 1947, only twice has a president faced a UFO question in a news conference. So it's not something, I mean, he faces a lot of questions on different issues, but it's really not something that we have put a lot of pressure on. But in terms of Obama, there's I guess two things that we should maybe look at, and that's there's a lot of stories, and I have actually the Barack Obama UFO website, and on my presidential UFO site, I also have a Barack Obama page where if you want to go, it has the latest Barack Obama stories, and there's maybe 50 different stories on there right now, and so I follow very closely everything that's going on, and there's been a lot of stories about. The disclosure, this sort of stuff, and so what I don't really make a sort of a call as to whether he will or he won't. I sort of look at what's the actual evidence. I mean, what is if you can get to the people like Podesta and stuff, and there are two different things, and they're both going in opposite direction. One is a statement that was made by James Fox, who said that he has information that something is going to happen. He didn't say who it was. And now coming from James Fox, I think there's something to that something will happen. But the other piece of information that goes in exactly the opposite direction is, I guess you know who Robert Stanley is, who did the UFOs over Washington, wrote the book, this sort of stuff. He came out with a statement that he had contacted Tony Podesta, who's John Podesta's brother, the PR, and this group that Leslie Kane is involved with. And he had basically been told that he was talking about why they wouldn't make the UFOs over Washington public, and basically was told it's not going to be made public. And the reason that he was told is very significant. It was basically that depending who you are, you can be in any department, but if you step up and say, Yes, UFOs are important. We should look at this. Now, it doesn't matter whether you're in State Department or Defense or whatever. And according to what he was told by Tony Podesta's people, you suddenly own the issue. And nobody wants to own the issue. And he and Robert Stanley told me, now I haven't got the direct link, his photographer claims to have been in contact with John Podesta. And that the word is the same, that no, this is not going to be there's not going to be a direct movement towards disclosure. Now, that hasn't been confirmed. I'm still waiting to hear from this guy. I've been put in contact with him. But you have something that sort of agrees. If people go to my presidential UFO website, to the front page, I have an article on there that's called The Reasons Why the Government Might Have Chosen Not to Disclose the ET Reality. And basically, I started off with like 64 reasons. And what I looked at was to sort of, in order to play the game and to try to beat them at their game, you have to sort of sit back and try to understand what they're thinking. May be right, may be wrong, but why would they not disclose it? What are some of the reasons? And I went through those reasons, and when Robert Stanley gave me this reason, it was, I don't think it's on my list of 64, but it's one that really made sense. It's sort of like, right. I can give you an example of something that happened here in Winnipeg just in the last day. In UFOs, I can say anything I want because I really don't have a position to lose. I don't have... I can be very independent, and I try to be very honest and independent as to what I'm saying. Now, I work at the University of Manitoba here in Canada, and yesterday there was a story that broke here in the city about two students who had planned to do a Columbine-type shooting here at the University of Manitoba. Now, I'm in a position where I work at the university, and if there was a plan to avoid this kind of stuff at the university, I would be involved in this kind of stuff. Now, because I'm here, I could really tell you right now what I think would happen at the University of Manitoba if they had managed to get on the campus. They had the guns, they had the ammunition and stuff, but I couldn't do it because I'm associated with the university, and if I were to say what I think would happen, suddenly I own the issue. And I would be in the vice president's office by Monday morning to explain why I'm shooting off my mouth when I really don't have the right to say it. If you're representing a big organization, so if you're in the government, one of the things I think that sort of confirmed this was that if you're in, say, you're in the State Department and you step up, suddenly everybody's looking at you and you become the center of attention when, in fact, you didn't have the right even to come out on that issue. So what I think might happen with the Obama thing, and when I'm thinking about, I'm trying to weigh what Robert Stanley is saying versus what James Fox is saying, and what I think they might do is sort of a British-French type disclosure thing. And this is something that Bill Clinton tried and had not much success, and that is you're not going to come open with it, because I think one of the other problems is that even if Barack Obama was in favor of this thing and he wanted this thing disclosed, I don't think the elected government knows what's going on. The more I look at this thing, and I've been to a lot of archives and a lot of presidential things, I become more like John Alexander. And I know John Alexander lectured at the X conference, and he lectured at the crash saucer conference. He's been inside the government, and he's got this statement, the government doesn't know, the government doesn't care. And the more I look at it, the more I sort of think the government, that's true, the government doesn't. They really, when you look at elected people like Barack Obama, don't. Now it's not that UFOs aren't real. I had a UFO sighting in 1975. From day one, I've known what's going on. I have no doubt about the reality. I have no doubt that there's somebody who's gathering this material. I just don't think it's the elected government. So even if Barack Obama wanted to disclose, what's he going to do? It's like Bill Clinton. It's very obvious from the Bill Clinton files. I recovered 1,000 pages of Bill Clinton files dealing with UFOs. It's very evident that Bill and Hillary Clinton were extremely interested in UFOs and tried everything that they had to try to get it out and were unable to get it. Like even Stephen Greer had the one statement that he was told that Bill was furious. He said, I know there's truth to this damn thing, and they won't tell me a thing. They won't tell me a thing about what
they're
on.
And I want to talk more about the Clintons. Yeah. They were kind of like the Scully and Mulder of the White House. I mean, they were really involved with this stuff. But I agree with you, you know, about owning. For instance, Kucinich, when he was presented with his sighting in the debates last year, actually the year before now, you know, he had a chance there to either stand by his sighting or to shirk it off. And I think that's an example of what you're talking about. If he would have stood by the sighting, then he would be the UFO, you know, politician. And he would own the issue at that point. And that would become everything that everybody talked about when it was related to him. And he really pushed that off. He very much tried to, and really, when it came to the campaign, he didn't have a whole luck with it, a lot of luck with it. He really tried to push it away. But Richardson, I guess, would be the closest one right now to owning the issue. And I know it's difficult for him, but one thing he gets to do is say, oh, I'm only into this issue for reasons of tourism for my state. Whereas sometimes he goes a little further to say he's really into it. So I think that leads to your point about owning the issue.
Yeah.
Here again, though, I...
Sure. The other thing you got to remember is what happens to you when you do raise the issue. For example, Kucinich. Kucinich, and I followed the articles very closely on Kucinich. Once he released this story, there was probably 100 stories that mentioned him and UFOs, and not one of them was positive.
Right.
And so,
yeah, I mean, it's really a political assassination. Some people argue that Tim Russert was trying to get the UFO issue on the table. No, I don't believe that for one second. I think Tim Russert was doing exactly what he did, which was a political assassination to make fun of Kucinich. He could have asked, he left him, if you watch that debate, he left Kucinich out of a lot of the serious questions. And he asked him this question to make him look foolish, to try to cancel his campaign effort, I think, and to quit getting Kucinich back. I think the media feels like, look, you're in the way. We really want to get down to the nitty-gritty with the guys who are really possibly going to be in the White House. I mean, I don't think it was something to help Kucinich or to help the UFO issue when Tim Russert brought that up.
Yeah, and the other thing is Kucinich, I don't know if people really know the Kucinich sighting. The Kucinich sighting was not just a sighting. He was like yards away from
right.
it. He was very, very close to this thing. They drew diagrams. There was a number of witnesses. And I actually talked to the guy at the Wall Street Journal who broke the story, and he had been promised that he would get the diagrams and all this sort of stuff that had been written up. And when I went and contacted him, he said Kucinich wouldn't talk to him anymore. So it was sort of a thing where they ran. But if you take a look at James Richardson, same thing. James Richardson was pro-UFO before the thing became an issue, like when the Roswell dig went on. He wrote this thing, but when it became public, when he was running for president, and suddenly this issue came up, that's when he backed off. And then he suddenly, this is tourism, and I really don't believe in UFOs. And
right.
Jimmy Carter's done the same thing. Jimmy Carter was all for UFOs. And then when he's asked about the Kucinich comment, then he says, well, no, I don't believe Martians can come here from there. And he's just backpedaling and basically saying he doesn't believe aliens are here. And it's sort of a type of thing that sort of haunts you. For example, there's been some discussion about the different people that Kucinich brought on, or that Barack Obama brought on board. And some of them were pro-UFO people, but Kucinich even made a big stink, because the idea that Obama had put out there was that he was going to bring in his competitors in the presidential race, the same as Abraham Lincoln had done. So he brings in Richardson to the cabinet, he brings in Hillary Clinton, and then Kucinich makes a big stink and says, well, what about me? I'm the guy who gave you the nod in Iowa to help you get this whole thing started, and I'm left in the lurch here. And then Barack Obama's people have to go and say, well, there's going to be a second wave of people picked in February, and he may be picked for the second team. So Kucinich sort of has his own problems, because he does this on all sorts of issues. I mean, he wanted to impeach Bush, and he's always
right.
sort of on the edge. But if you're a politician like Barack Obama seems to want to govern from the middle, you really don't want a guy like Kucinich who you never know what the hell he's going to say.
Yeah,
and,
but let's get into – I want to start dissecting, you know, some of Obama's administration here and get into some of this, because – you talked a little bit about the UFO movement and how it really has to come from a movement. And part of that UFO movement has been John Podesta, who is in the administration, who's taking charge in the transition for Obama. And John Podesta, I put up, there's a link on the right-hand side of my blog talk there, or if you're at my UFO Think Tank, you can see them too, to my YouTube UFO Think Tank site. And I favorited these videos. And if you go there, you can see a video of John Podesta speaking in front of the National Press Club in Washington, D.C., saying the public is ready to know the truth. We can handle the truth. It's time that the government tell the truth, and it's the right thing, and it's the legal thing to do. So Podesta's in the middle. I mean, he is out as a pro-UFO disclosure advocate.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but he's tried it before. That's the one thing people are forgetting, is that when Bill Clinton was in the White House, Bill Clinton was heavily into trying to force the UFO issue out. Podesta was his chief of staff, and they did make a movement. They put out this executive order in 1995 to say that anything that's over 25 years has got to be released unless you've got a darn good reason to keep it secret. And the idea there was to force out everything and hope that the UFO stuff would come with it. And that's why I'm saying that.
So you
that
think
there may
those sunshine laws and everything were related to the UFO subject?
Pardon me?
So you think when Clinton was pushing for that transparency in government, he had a side agenda of releasing
sure.
UFO information?
Oh, exactly. Sure. He wanted that out, and Podesta as well. And that's why I may think they may try this same thing again, instead of taking control of the issue and going out in the public with it where it's going to kill you, is they're going to work in behind the scenes the same as Jimmy Carter did and try to shake down all the agencies for documents. And that's what Jimmy Carter did secretly behind the scenes, is he had his press secretary went after the FBI, Press, who was his science advisor, went after NASA, and you had a bunch of different people going and trying to get all the agencies to release all the UFO documents. But it was done in the background, and a lot of stuff. In fact, the vast majority of Freedom Information Act request material came out during the Carter administration. And I think that might be what they will try again, is to try to find out where this stuff is and put some pressure on, and then you're going to get a release. It's not going to be UFOs are here. It's going to be the British, French type thing. This agency is going to release these documents that they've had in their files all these years, and something new is going to come out. Because a lot of people say, well, the British disclosed and the French disclosed, but they didn't disclose, because disclose means for somebody to stand up and say, here's the top secret stuff, UFOs are here, we have the craft, we have the bodies, this sort of stuff. What's happening is the same thing that happened to the Canadian government back in the late 1970s, is they suddenly say, okay, we're going to release the files we've had from the government, but the real top secret stuff still doesn't flow out. You get a bunch of UFO documents, you up the issue, you get people talking about it, but you really don't get that disclosure of, yes, we've got the bodies, we know this is for real. And,
right.
And nobody has to really take the rap and say, because if you're NASA, for example, with Jimmy Carter, when Jimmy Carter went to NASA, there was this famous CIA document that went to NASA that said, don't even think about it. Do not take this issue on. And NASA came back and basically told the president, we got enough problems trying to finance stuff and to do this. We don't need the UFO issue, because if you control the UFO issue, then suddenly you have the windmill thing in Europe, and suddenly you're on the hook. You got to explain this. Like, what happened? And you don't know. I mean, there's so many things. You don't need some guy out there with a press conference looking stupid every day trying to explain what happened last night, this, that, what happened in the windmill, this sort of stuff. It becomes like a PR nightmare. So if you can do it from behind the scenes, which I think Podesta and Obama might do, because Obama is pro open government, I've got a lot of stuff on my website that shows that he will, if he believes this is for real. My question is, how much can he really do if he doesn't know where it is? The same as Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton's searching around in all the agencies, and one of the
reasons. Well, that's what I want to talk about, though. I want to talk about. There's no doubt that Clinton was interested. I mean, and the reason I say this, because some of the listeners might be like, yeah, what? How do you know Clinton was interested in UFOs? Well, one reason we know is from William Hubble, right? Because he wrote his his biography talking about this. So maybe you can mention the William Hubble connection. How we know that Clinton was interested in UFOs?
Okay, we know from Hubble with the famous statement that he wrote in his book Friends in High Places in 1997 that Bill Clinton said, "I would need the answer to two questions, who killed JFK and are UFOs real?" And Hubble went out, tried to find out what was going on, and basically openly stated in his book, "I couldn't get anything." He went to NORAD, and basically that was the one incident that occurred. We know because we have 1,000 pages of documents from the Office of the Science Advisor to the President, where there's discussion going where Lawrence Rockefeller is trying to get to the President. And one of the documents that I took a lot of flack for, and I still think it's very legitimate, is the fact that Lawrence Rockefeller had a letter that he was drafting to the President on disclosure that he wanted President Clinton to disclose. And he had everybody, he'd have like Scott Jones, and he would ask the Gibbons, Dr. Gibbons, the president's science advisor. Everybody wanted everybody to look at this letter and make suggestions on this letter. It was a two-page letter, and we've got the letter. And one of the people who helped him edit the letter was Hillary Clinton. And there is a document that basically states that she, that he went to her and that she helped edit this letter. So here's Hillary Clinton helping edit this letter. We know through, for example, Paul Davids. There's a whole series of stories. Paul Davids met with Clinton, this is not last year, the year before, and basically met him at a fundraiser for when Hillary was running for president and gave him the latest Roswell book. And he handed it over to him, and he said that Bill Clinton, he was alone with Bill Clinton, and Bill Clinton said, "You know, I've always been fascinated in this stuff." One of the reasons we know that Bill Clinton was interested and is because of a speech in and this is kind of a back thing that I sort of put together, and now most people know how it fits together, and that is the fact that there was a green lighting of the new study on Roswell that came out in 1994, the preliminary. The final came out in 1995, and just when they got the final report, Bill Clinton, and of course the final report for the Roswell study said, there's nothing to it, no UFO, no bodies in Roswell. And this report comes to Bill and Hillary Clinton. Bill goes to Belfast, Northern Ireland, to light the Christmas tree in November, late November of 1995, and he makes this famous speech. And he says, he's answering a letter, which I tried to get from the Clinton Library, which they said they don't have. So whether this letter was made up or whatever, but he there's a letter-writing competition to the president, and he reads this letter from Ryan. He said, "Ryan, if you're out in the audience there tonight, here's the answer to your question. No, as far as I know, a flying saucer did not crash in Roswell, New Mexico. But, Ryan, if they did recover bodies, they didn't tell me about it, and I want to know." And if you look at the final report in 1995, it doesn't talk about the bodies. So here, a second Roswell report is done, which costs millions of dollars. The Air Force does a second Roswell report, which nobody ever questioned. Why did they do a second one? This is why.
Right.
The president comes right out front and says, "I want to know." So they come out in 1997. They release the second report, and it basically says, "Oh, we dropped dummies out of the planes, and this explains the bodies," and indirectly back to the president saying, "Here's the answer to your question, Mr. President. No." So here you see Clinton trying to get it. And now in 2005, and this is a speech that I'm still trying to get, this is a speech that Bill made in Hong Kong in September of 2005, and it was during the question and answer, and someone asked him a question. It had nothing to do with UFOs. It had to do with, "Mr. President, when you hand over your presidency to another president, is there secrets that go along with handing it over, like where's Jimmy Hoffa's body buried?" And Clinton starts talking about UFOs. He says, "You know, I had that Roswell thing, and I was really interested in this, and I tried to get to the bottom of it." And he said, I was unable to get anything. I'm probably not the first president that they kept in the dark or that bureaucrats tried to wait out." So he directly stated, I tried to get to the bottom of the Roswell thing. I was unable to get it, and they kept me in the dark. And he was referring to they. So when you hear these statements by Hillary, when Bill was in a lot of trouble with the Monica Lewinsky, and at that point she was talking about the right-wing conspiracy that was trying to get rid of Clinton. And I used to laugh. I remember when it was going on, and now I'm thinking maybe she was actually talking. There is this secret part inside the government that was actually trying to get rid of him. And there's a story that was told by Stephen Greer, and I tried to get to Sarah McClendon. Sarah McClendon was one of the White House press reporters who had told this story to Stephen Greer, and I tried to get to her, and I won't get into it, but somebody talked me out of talking to her, and I said, I want to talk to her. I want to hear this out of Sarah McClendon's mouth. And she said that when Greer was very popular back then. Everybody knew who he was on the Hill. And Sarah McClendon was helping Stephen Greer with his campaign, writing articles and this sort of stuff, and she was a prominent White House reporter. So she, according to Stephen Greer, Sarah McClendon had, at the end of one press conference, had off the record, had said to Bill Clinton, Mr. Clinton, why don't you do what these people, the Stephen Greer's group, why don't you do what they want? Why don't you disclose? And according to Stephen Greer, President Clinton leaned over to Sarah McClendon and said, Sarah, there's a government inside the government, and I don't control it. And so you have lots and lots and lots of stories. There's a story that was told by his name escapes me. He was a guy who had worked with Pandolfi from the CIA. He was a researcher in Maine. He knew Pandolfi very well. And he, when I was interviewing him, he told me that indirectly that Hillary Clinton had come to him. And that the stories that he had heard, and I'm sure he was hearing these stories from Pandolfi, who was asked to do the presidential briefing on UFOs and turned it off and said, well, no, we don't do UFOs. So he gave it to Bruce McAbee to do. But this, and his name escapes me, this researcher told me that indirectly Hillary had come to him looking for material, and that the story that he had been told was that Bill was calling in anybody who he could get. He was calling in admirals into his office and saying, tell me about the UFO secret. What's going on? And that these people would look at him like, what are you, from outer space or something? They thought it was crazy because most of these people that he was calling in his office knew nothing about what was going on, and he was calling people into his office. So,
well, and see, he definitely had an interest. And I want to get back to this key with the link to Obama, which is Hillary, because, of course, Hillary's part of his administration. And I think you've got that document that shows – Hillary helped Lawrence Rockefeller write this document. We have other information of Hillary being briefed on the subject. So Hillary's in the know. And maybe let's go over Lawrence Rockefeller for a minute, because some people in the audience might not know Lawrence Rockefeller of the Rockefeller family, the multi-quadrillionaire family some people think are running the world. He was interested in the subject, looked into it. He got help from Stephen Greer. I know one of our directors, John Schuster, was involved with a meeting that he had put together where he brought a lot of researchers together on the UFO subject, because Lawrence Rockefeller was genuinely interested in that subject. And I know you have a lot of this on your website too.
Mm-hmm. And he had pressured the White House, and he had been cut off at the pass. He wanted to get to Bill Clinton, and he'd been cut off at the pass by the science advisor. So they basically dealt with the science advisor, and that's where they had this threatened letter where he wanted to send the letter, and then the science advisor would say, no, hang on, we'll do what you want. And at one point, Rockefeller was so upset with what was going on, he threatened to put a newspaper article in every major newspaper in the United States basically saying this is for real, and the White House has to talk about it, and that would have really upped it. So they were trying to do whatever they could to sort of calm Rockefeller down and to try to give him the answers he wanted. And one of the things that happened, and this is in the documents, is he was talking to the President Clinton's science advisor and was saying this is a massive conspiracy and all this is being covered up and stuff. And the science advisor basically said to him, well, Mr. Rockefeller, if this conspiracy is as widespread as you said it is and is well controlled, well, we're never going to get to the bottom of it. Why don't we just take one case and let's go after one case and get it declassified, and once we get it declassified, then we'll go after the rest of the UFO mystery. And that's what happened, is Lawrence Rockefeller said, and the letter is there, it says, yeah, okay, we'll take Roswell. And that's why they did the Roswell study. That's why they green-lighted this study, and the Air Force went had to go back and reinvestigate Roswell. This came from Lawrence Rockefeller. But when it all fell apart...
But the Air Force really snowed them. I mean, the Air Force didn't do a serious study.
They didn't do a serious study, or they couldn't get to the material. The material was by then long gone to wherever, whoever holds the material. So if, if you're an Air Force, I mean, there was the guy that was doing the Air Force thing was, you know, was I can't remember the guy's name, but he was a skeptical type guy. But whether or not they did a serious study, it still came down to the fact that that nothing came out of it, and nobody could get to it. And that seems to be the repeated thing that you if you hear John Alexander talking about, that there are people in there trying to get the material. He tried to get the material, and he wasn't able to get anything. And there was a document that I still haven't released that sort of shows this, that shows that the government, knows less than what you think they know. There was a document that I remember back many years ago, there was a book called, it was about the UFO Working Group. And this was written by an investigative reporter for the New York Times, I think it was. And he came out with the book. And then I was provided a document that had handwritten notes from one of the meetings. And the thing was actually called the Advanced Physics Theoretical Working Group. And I put this, I just put the top secret restricted document, I just put part of the first page on a slide, and I showed it at Ozark, and a bunch of people came to me, and they said, well, you know, and I named the names of the people who are on this UFO working group, and I said it wasn't called the UFO working group, it was called the Advanced Physics Theoretical Working Group. And so now John Alexander has come out, and he's given the lecture, and he's confirmed that's what it was called, which confirms that the document I have is legitimate. And what the document shows, and this is something I'm going to describe when I lecture this year, is that all these notes, and there's about 18 pages of notes, basically they knew nothing more than you and I. And these are like Alexander and all the Avery-type people. They're working on this thing, and they're basically just running around like researchers trying to get basic material. They had nothing top secret. They had nothing that you and I haven't seen before, which sort of indicates that they really don't know anything. And that's, I think, one of the main problems. For example, with the Rockefeller thing, the Clintons got so flustered by this whole thing that they were going to people like Daryl Sims was contacted by Hillary Clinton.
Wow.
Really? The second person. There was a woman that came to his group and said, I'm here on behalf of my girlfriend Hillary. And all Sims could think about was this term girlfriend. But she was there, and they wanted his videos. So he provided this woman videos, and this woman came back to a meeting a couple months later and said, the president and Hillary were fascinated with your videos. So, and that's the second time. And this is independent from this researcher in Maine who I talked to, who told me the same story, that Hillary was coming to him. Now, this story had been made public, but I didn't make these stories public. And here you have these people coming, Hillary... they're going to researchers.
Right.
Well, if they've got the inside story and they know what's going on, they got the bodies and all this sort of stuff. Like Robert Collins says that Clinton was briefed in Los Alamos in 1994. If he had seen all the stuff at Los Alamos and all the bodies and all the hardware, why are they running around and talking to researchers?
And I agree with you. I think we can show that the Clintons were very interested in the subject, and they were kind of like you and I, or they were like UFO researchers at the very beginning, going to the best sources of information to find out what's going on. Because unfortunately, even as the president and the first lady, they didn't have access to the information. However, what I don't see, and maybe I'm wrong on this, and you can enlighten me, is that the difference between being interested and wanting to disclose. I mean, they may be interested in getting information for their own personal knowledge, but what is it that makes you believe that Clinton actually and Hillary actually wanted to disclose the UFO subject to the public?
Well, again, it comes down to owning the issue. You don't want to disclose. I mean, if you get the material, you don't want to come out, because then you're going to take the flak. So you're going to do it through the Air Force. The Air Force suddenly discovers, they reinvestigate Roswell and discover it's for real. So then the Air Force does a
so that was their
round
effort. And it was a total failed effort because
so Clinton's holding the bag. I mean, he tried it. Nobody knew until I disclosed that there'd been two Roswell studies and why there was two Roswell studies and the speech that he'd made in Belfast. Until you put all that together, you didn't know that it was actually Bill Clinton that was behind the Roswell study. Everybody thought, well, they just, you know, the Air Force had a bad day and decided, oh, let's go back and reinvestigate Roswell. They didn't want to reinvestigate Roswell. They were told to go and reinvestigate Roswell. The same as Hubble being told to go out and to find this sort of stuff. Now, what I was told, and unfortunately, you give these lectures and you make these mistakes. A woman came to me in Arkansas, and this is one of the things that happened to me was I was talking, because I lecture at Eureka Springs every year, and that's Hillary Clinton hometown area. Bill and Hillary lived there, so there's lots of people there who knew them. And one woman came up to me and said, well, I can tell you why they're interested, because she claimed to be the sister of the woman who owned the famous barbecue restaurant that Bill and Hillary hung out in. And she said, well, she knew that it was either Bill and Hillary or somebody very close to them had a sighting at the restaurant. And that's why they were interested. So I said to the lady, I said, and she was an older lady. She was like 65 years old. I mean, the last person you'd think would be making this up. So I said, can you, because there was piles of people around, I said, can you write it down? Can you make sure you give me this material, here's my card and all this sort of stuff. And she said, yes, she would do it. She never did. And I tried to track this woman down. Now, they were very interested, but then you have the political thing. For example, Rockefeller, in the end, Rockefeller briefs them at the ranch in August of 1995. And one of the stories that have been told is the reason the briefing had taken place at the ranch rather than Washington was because it would get them away from the CIA, that Rockefeller did it outside of Washington. And Bill and Hillary were on holidays, and they went to the Rockefeller ranch, and it was Bill's birthday, and it was the day after the birthday or whatever, and they sat down. Now, there's different stories, whether it's Rockefeller's lawyers, Scott Jones, all these different people, as to whether Bill was in the briefing. But we know for a fact Hillary was in the briefing. And basically, here again, you don't have a briefing. You have Rockefeller, who's a private citizen, sitting down with a lot of the material that was given to him by Stephen Greer, and he's sitting there and he's making his pitch. Now he's finally got to the president. He's tired of dealing with the science advisor. And there is a memo from the science advisor to the president in August of 1995, basically saying, okay, I hear you're going to be meeting with Rockefeller at the ranch on UFOs and paranormal phenomena, and we tried to talk to this guy, and basically saying, we're sorry, we tried to deal with the guy, and I understand now he's going to talk to you about UFOs. So Rockefeller goes to the ranch, and he talks to them about the UFOs, and the story that was told that the next morning that Rockefeller told to what's the abductee guy, communion guy,
Whitley Strieber.
Rockefeller told Whitley Strieber that the next morning Hillary came up to Rockefeller and said, and in the briefing they hadn't said anything, that Hillary came to Rockefeller and said, okay, you've talked about the UFO thing, we've listened to you, now don't ever bring up the subject again. And that's the political end of the thing, is that, yes, they're very interested, but you don't want to do it openly. So we'll listen to you, we'll deal with all this sort of stuff, but you don't want to own the issue. You don't want to step up there, and you're trying to find a way. And I think that's what I'm hoping Obama and Podesta will do, is to try to find a way to get it to come out through the back door, because you don't want to come up openly with it. So I think they are interested.
If Obama is even motivated to do that.
Well,
I
don't think he has any axe to grind. He's a lawyer. I don't think he really one way cares one way or the other. But he realizes that truth, like Stephen Greer says, Stephen Bassett says, truth is always the best way to go. So what's he got to lose? Sure, let's go with it. I mean, Podesta's telling him, we should try to get this stuff out. There might be some new energy stuff there. There's a lot of advantages, lots of disadvantages. But the thing is how you get it out. And that's where I think they may try to, I don't know how they'll do
interesting. Yeah, and your theory, though, I mean, kind of what you're telling us is an interesting kind of perspective that I hadn't looked at, is even if this administration, with all of Hillary's knowledge of with Rockefeller and looking for all of this information with her husband, and with Podesta wanting this information out, even coming to the public and kind of pleading in a public forum, we need this information out, that even the presidential administration group is kind of impotent to even do much. They have to be tricky and sly and try to outsmart people, kind of like we do, trying to think of how do we best, you know, get the big punch out there and create this pressure. So they've got to kind of do that themselves because they're at a loss and they don't have access either, just like the rest of us.
Yeah. So I think there may be some movement how they're going to do it, because when James Fox says it, then I think they have something. And for example, Stephen Bassett had told me something I'd never heard.
Thing with that, though,
with
James Fox, the thing with James Fox is, when I think is great, and if people haven't seen his Out of the Blue documentary, go check it out. Even if you go to YouTube and you click Out of the Blue, you're going to see a lot of great witnesses. And he brought a lot of these from the Disclosure Project, which is the group that Stephen Greer put together. And also, just for the listeners real quick, because I know some people might have clicked on here and said, yeah, right, Obama and UFOs, and wanted to listen in. Go look at the Disclosure Project, because there's hundreds of incredible witnesses. And the executive summary that Stephen Greer put together is the same type of thing that Rockefeller put together. They just at the end kind of went separate ways and put together separate documents. And Greer's is actually better than the Rockefeller one, I think. So people can go Google it, go to disclosureproject.org and get it yourself. But so that information is out there. I forgot my point. Oh, with James Fox, is that kind of like what you said, James Fox may have heard this from a politician, and even maybe from a senator or congressman. And to James Fox, that might be a big deal. Or just like earlier, the story about the UN and the UN having meetings and they're on UFOs at the UN. But you know what? That's happened before. It's not necessarily, doesn't necessarily mean there's a disclosure effort, big effort that's, you know, got the D players involved. It could mean there's just another politician who's interested, who really wants to get the information out, but is just has just as little access to the real data as the rest of us.
Yeah, see, that's why I
take a grain of salt.
Yeah, you see, what I would guess it's not a politician, because a politician, even with any issue, if you're a politician, say you want rapid transit, you mentioned that, you know, rapid transit, then
right,
this politician has got to convince, if you're in the House, you've got to convince 400 and some odd other people to go along with your position, and then you got to force it through the Congress. That is sort of like your idea. Unless it's the same thing, you have to have a lot of congressmen who are sort of all on the bandwagon to get this thing going, because you're going to run into even the best issue is going to run into a lot of defense from people who want other issues dealt with. What I think it might be, and this is where Tony Podesta comes in. They worked on with Leslie Kane and with this Freedom of Information
Coalition for the Freedom of Information.
Yeah. That's where I think it's coming from. And Tony Podesta, because one of the stories that I had heard, Stephen Bassett, I think, was on Coast to Coast. I heard this, and I emailed him. I said, Steve, I've never heard this before. And he said that in 1999, a public relations firm in Washington, D.C., had been contacted by, and he didn't know who it was, but basically saying somebody from the government or from the group that controls it or whatever, how do we disclose this thing? And it had gone to a PR firm. Now, that's what you're going to need. That's what I think they're going to do. It's not, you're not going to be out front with an issue. You're going to get a PR firm who's going to try to figure out how to do it through the back door. And that's where because Tony Podesta is John Podesta's brother, and he owns a big PR firm in Washington.
Yeah, I read a story, too. I think it was the Arlington Institute, I'm pretty sure. And I know, I think Greer, I think I even asked you about this before, where there was a story about the Arlington Institute, a think tank, having been approached with the same subject, how do we get this information out to the public?
Yeah, I'm. That'd be interesting, because that's John Peterson, and he keeps popping up all over the place. He's, in fact, the guy who there's a big controversy about Stephen Greer briefing James Wolseley, who was Bill Clinton's first CIA director. And that was the other thing that happened during the Clinton administration was Wolseley, who he and his wife had a daytime sighting in New Hampshire in the late 1960s, request the CIA do another study on UFOs. So they do another study, which was released in 1997, and again, it's a whitewash. But here's another thing happening under the Clintons, and John Peterson, who backpedaled after Stephen Greer put it in his book, and basically said, no, this was not really a briefing, and Stephen Greer's out of line, and you know, he was just being obnoxious and taking over the meeting and this sort of stuff. He followed Stephen Greer around to four meetings, and in Fort Collins, Colorado, approached him to say, I've got somebody who wants to help you, and then Stephen Greer said, who is it? And he said, the CIA director, and he's my friend, and Wolseley did sit on the board. And then you have this Catherine Austin Fitz coming forward and saying that John Peterson had approached her and wanted her to work on this project and said, you know, aliens are among us. And she was just floored that she was sitting in this meeting with the former CIA director and Peterson, and now he's denied this story. And it's kind of weird. The Arlington Institute keeps popping up in this sort of stuff, and the assistant head of the Navy is involved, and so I think that's the kind of stuff they're doing. Is if you've got to work it through PR people who know how to do this kind of stuff, rather than a full frontal thing that's going to sort of blow up the way it did with Kucinich, because Kucinich was just a sighting that he had. It was an incident that had been made public by Shirley MacLaine. And you can see how it blew up in his face. And everybody knows that kind of situation that you really don't want. So you're in a situation like Hillary, say, don't bring the subject up again. If you're going to run for president, I don't want this thing dragging behind me. So, but if you want to get it out, you're going to try to figure out how to do it. First, you got to find out where it is, and then you got to figure out how to get it out.
Well, and that was one thing where I was kind of didn't necessarily agree with your tactics during the Hillary thing. And I want to hear your theory behind this is that, first of all, just so people know, you can go to my YouTube site, and also under my favorites, you'll see the Kucinich conference we're talking about, where they asked him, Tim Russert asked him about the UFO. And you can also see Bill Richardson's answer to the UFO question by Chris Matthews from Hardball, which is really interesting too, because Chris Matthews asked him about it, and he didn't necessarily totally shirk it. He said we need some information released. However, like I said, usually that information is used to hurt a politician running for an office. And I've kind of thought that, for instance, since Hillary was in the know, Clinton, and from your information, you know, they really wanted disclosure, the best tactic for people like us, if we really wanted Hillary as the president, would be to lay off. Don't bring up these Hillary subjects. That would hurt her chances, especially if the press ran with a story about Hillary being, you know, X-Files Scully and looking for UFOs and making fun of her. That our best tactic would be to hold off on releasing that kind of information until after they get into office, so that then it puts the pressure on them, you know, coming forward with some information. What do you think of that? I was just a little worried that, you know, because you did start to get some press with your Hillary Clinton stuff, and I was a little worried
But it didn't go anywhere. So what happened? It didn't go anywhere. Now she's in power, and she's never had to deal with the question. And that's my contention, is that until you, these famous people, for example, if she had been asked the question, because if you take a look at the video, you can see she's laughing when Kucinich has been dealing with this question. If she had dealt with the question, then it would have got some press. Then people would have said, right. For example, if you got Bill Clinton in a thing and said, is it true, as say Chris Matthews or whoever asks him, and says, is it true that you've got a very big interest in UFOs? And he says, yeah. Then everybody goes, the president's interested? Because that's how I got interested. I had a UFO sighting in 1975. I'd have a pile of them, because there was a flap going on at a town outside my city. And I wrote a manuscript on this thing. I went and interviewed all these people, hundreds of people, and I put the whole thing in a manuscript. I went to the main publisher in my city of 700,000 people, and she said, well, you may be interested in this kind of stuff. Count me among the unbelievers. And I was just floored. Like, people really couldn't have cared less. And that's when I went to the Canadian government. When I heard that the Canadian government had been involved with Wilbur Smith, I went there and I said, well, people will listen if they know that the Canadian government was involved. And so I went there, and people were a little more interested. Well, yeah, you mean this guy was actually talking to aliens and this sort of stuff? And that led me to Dr. Eric Walker, who was friends with President Eisenhower, who was the president of Penn State University for 17 years. And this guy knew exactly what was going on. We took all the interviews. We put them in a book, MUFON. It was the first book MUFON published. They put it out, and we ended up a situation with the reporter from Penn State going there to interview him, which was the first time he hung up the phone. He said, I'm not talking about this, and hung up the phone. She walked away, and then I said, well, people still aren't. If people knew the president knew about it, so I moved up the rank from president of a university to the president of the United States, and I said, if people knew that the president of the United States was interested, or that the president, it was on his agenda. And that's why I always say, when you're talking to a president, vice president, you don't ask them, are you interested in UFOs or something like that? No, that really doesn't go anywhere. What you ask them is, have you ever been briefed on the subject? And that was the question which I thought would take off when I talked to Dick Cheney. I got Dick Cheney on a radio talk show in Washington, D.C., on the Diana Rehm show. That was just after they came into power. And the story was always around that Cheney knew what was going on. And so I said, Mr. Cheney, in all your jobs in government, have you ever been briefed on the subject of UFOs? And if so, when was it, and what were you told? And I was just shocked. And they cut me off, so I heard it later. He said, if I had been briefed on that subject, it would probably be classified, and I wouldn't be talking about it. Now, that should have gone somewhere, because here's a guy who's the vice president, who was former Secretary of Defense, who basically is saying it would be classified, is giving it some credibility. And that's why I went after Hillary and all these people. And we had somebody in Boston who was going to ask Hillary the question. And it was the question of, were you briefed? I'm not saying UFOs exist. Have you been briefed? And if you get in a situation where some president says, yes, I was briefed, it's over. Because then you have a situation where it's for real.
Media
you
frenzy.
Don't brief people on things that don't exist.
Although probably a media frenzy, but you never know. I mean, it's just like you talked about with Dick Cheney and your question to him, and him talking about, I wasn't briefed, but if I was, I wouldn't be talking about it. Same thing with like our Stephenville radar report. We have information from the FAA, and that's going to be my next guest, actually, is Robert Powell, who's the director of investigations or director of research for us. But FAA data that proves there was something in the area that these people were seeing, an unknown that, you know, we see radar tracks just like they had described, but it doesn't go anywhere. Even though they went crazy over Stephenville, the press doesn't go crazy with this sort of information. It's kind of strange where some of this goes somewhere, some of it you think should, doesn't. So you never know what's going to get picked up on.
That's why I went after the top people is the president, because that's as high as you can go. And I know that when the story first started to break, I mean, they were going nuts here at work, because there was calls coming into the main office, and it was like the Washington Post on the line and the Associated Press, and it was like – and the Washington Post talked to me for an hour and a quarter, and they were interested in the Hillary aspect, and they had the documents. And it became an editorial thing that they had the Hillary documents, two documents that were involved that showed her interest, and Associated Press had the documents, Fox News had the documents, and basically nobody went with it. And they sort of dropped the thing. And but if it had gotten rolling, if you had a situation where and you know what the press is like, that's what I said, like disclosure may come like that just suddenly – you've had a story that's been there for years and years. The press, one guy asks the question, and suddenly another guy asks the question, and the thing starts to roll, and a feeding frenzy starts, and then it'll roll. But the press is hesitant, and I can tell you a story that I don't know if most people won't have heard this story. This dealt with the story with Hubble. Now, when Hubble put the story about the fact that Bill had told him to go and investigate UFOs, he put it in his book. So, of course, the day the book was released, they had the White House press conference, and the president's, Bill Clinton's press secretary was taking the questions. And the woman that was asking the question was Deborah Orne, who was with the New York Post. and you have your conservative and liberal, and she was with the conservative New York Post, hated the Clintons, had helped break the Monica Lewinsky story, hated the Clintons with a passion, was ready and willing to ask this question about Bill Clinton and the UFOs. And she did an interview later, which didn't get much publicity, but she was interviewed about asking this question. And she said she asked the question, and he evaded the question. Then she asked the question again, and he was able to walk around the question the second time. So you get a follow-up, and then she had to let it go. And she said, I sat there and waited for someone to come to my defense, and everybody rolled over and played dead. Now, there was a situation where you waited for the next question to say, well, is this true? Somebody else. But everybody, you're a White House press guy. You spent your whole life, and suddenly you're up in the big room, and you've got your White House press pass, and you're not going to be the guy to ask the stupid question, because they may never ask you another question again. So it's
that's the hard thing.
But if you do get a – I think you could get a situation – where, like Obama was asked a question, and he walked around it. He was asked a question about the aliens, and he said, well, it depends whether they're Republicans or Democrats. And that was by Chicago, by, I think it was eight.
Hello? Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to have to phone you back. Give me about 2 minutes.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Okay,
well,
can I phone you back?
Sure.
Let me phone you back.
All right. Uh-oh, MIBs must have infiltrated. But one of the things that I'm going to ask Grant about when he comes back, speaking with the press, is around the L.A. Times. Because, like I'm talking about, when Kucinich was asked this question on the Democratic debates, some of the first people they called, luckily, was Us with MUFON, and they also got a hold of Grant Cameron. So I had mentioned the other presidents who had sightings, such as Jimmy Carter. I also had mentioned that Ronald Reagan had a sighting of a UFO, that Gerald Ford had actually, while he was a congressman, asked for the release of UFO files, and they printed all that in their story. They were really excited about it. Interesting enough as well, I know Stephen Bassett, who we've been talking about tonight with the Paradigm Research Group, had also talked about Kucinich's sightings, and one of the Kucinich press people just lit up and they said, don't you ever talk about this sort of thing, you know, before making stupid comments about our candidate, you know, ask us first. And she really got upset, and they really didn't want to touch the subject at all, which, of course, the LA Times was really interested in once that he did have to talk about the subject. But we'll ask him that. We've only got a few minutes, but I think I either have Grant or a caller online, so let's see
what
we got here.
Yeah, I'm back.
Hey there. Okay, great. So did you hear what I was talking about with the LA Times?
A little bit. Just the end.
Yeah, you may remember the story when the LA Times, when they had called us about the Kucinich issue, and I thought that was a really good story. When I talked to her, she was genuinely shocked about these other presidents having sightings or having anything to do with UFOs. What did you tell her? That do you remember that?
No, I don't remember the interview.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember the interview. But there's a, you know, that's the thing. There's a number of presidents who have, and maybe one of the stories I can sort of tell, which sort of relates to this sort of the issue of the briefing. And that was, I had a friend, and this was something that I took a lot of flack for, who had actually talked to Gerald Ford. And this had to do with the Holloman Air Force Base film, whether he had seen it, whether he had been briefed on UFO, on the Holloman Air Force Base. And yes, he had seen the film, and the fellow asked him, when was the briefing? And Ford said, I'm never going to tell you when the briefing is. Don't even go there. And that's the whole idea, is that if you get somebody on the record, a president or a vice president, to say they've been briefed, if they say they've been briefed, then suddenly you have a way to get the document. And what you're looking for when you want the truth, you want the briefing, you want what the 16 intelligence agencies have all put together as one final briefing that you give to the president, which has the truth. And if somebody can confirm there's a briefing, then you have the date, the time, and you can actually force the briefing out, which is not going to be disinformation. It's not going to be a bunch of junk put out by some agency or whatever. It's going to be the best intelligence the U.S. government has got on the subject.
Right. Now, we've only got 10 minutes left, but a couple of questions I'd like to ask. One of them being, kind of sidetracking off of this, is disclosure itself. A lot of people talk about disclosure with a big D and disclosure with a little d, I hear in the UFO community. And I think what they're referring to is disclosure coming from the government or disclosure coming from the extraterrestrials doing something that can't be denied. Which do you think will happen with first, and which would you prefer?
As I said, I don't think the elected government has the information. So
yeah.
The government won't disclose. The ETs, that's one of the reasons in my 64 reasons why the government won't disclose or whoever's got the information is because the ETs won't disclose. The ETs are very, very secretive about what's going on. They have made no sort of movement to fill us in as to what's going on and don't even really talk to us. They're basically doing their own little thing. So disclosure, I think, may come by accident. It'll come by something happening or by what Bill Clinton tried, where you're going to get it through the back door where something gets some government releases something and then the ball starts to roll. Or you get a situation where somebody confirms that there's been a briefing.
Right.
So that,
I have a question.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. A question that came from the chat room here is when you asked that question of Cheney on the radio show, did you tell the screener that you were going to ask that?
Yes, I did.
Or was there...
and then, I did, and then I had Jimmy Carter on the line because I learned how to get on the line. And so Jimmy Carter came on the line, and I asked the same question to the screener, and she said, okay, hang on, and then I was on the air and waiting, and about 2 minutes later she came back and said, I'm sorry, you're off topic, we can't take your question, thank you. So I guess they had put it to Jimmy Carter, and he didn't want to take the question. So I actually would have asked it to Jimmy Carter, and that's what I wanted. I wanted somebody like, because the question was always about Jimmy Carter, that he went into the White House and he didn't do anything. And, you know, he's always talked about UFOs. You can ask him, and he'll talk about his sightings till the cows come home. I don't want to know about your sighting. I want to know, what did you do in the White House? Did you get briefed? Did you ask for a briefing? And what did they tell you? And then at least if he says they told me it was Blue Book, whatever, then you know the guy's getting scammed. But to try to get that bottom line, is the president being told? Because the president is the head of the executive branch of government. He's the head of the military. If something is going on and this guy doesn't know it, I'm a Canadian. The United States of America is in serious trouble if the president of the United States is not in control of this subject. Because if they can keep this secret from him and they know how to keep it secret, you can keep anything secret from the president. And you've got a second, as Bill Clinton says, there's government inside the government and I don't control it. This government just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and has more and more things that they control. You have to be able to control the inner side of government. So the president has to know. It's a critical issue.
Well, we are in a lot of trouble down here in the South. And, you know, as you know, and I know a lot of Canadians, and as you Canadians know, we're in some trouble, especially in the last 8 years down here. So hopefully that'll change. But I've got a caller, it looks like. Let's see if they want to ask you one of these difficult questions. So let's see. Is the caller on the air? Are you there? Hello? They're staying quiet. All right. Well, no problem. I had a question regarding Canada. Just real quick, I mean, we're definitely going to need to bring you on again because there is a lot of subject. Well, we have another caller. Let's take this real quick. Are you there, caller?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Welcome to the show. What's your question?
Thank you very much. Great show indeed. I came late. I do apologize. But Reza, this is Reza. And in Iran in 1976, there was dog fight over Tehran over a UFO encounter. And there is a book called Dog Fight Over Iran. And it's written by one of the pilots who were after the UFO over Tehran, Iran. And what happened, when they close to the UFO, all their instruments went haywire. All the phantom jets, F-5 phantom jets, almost going to crash. And once they were a lot away from the UFO, their instruments came back on. And then when they went after it, some part of the UFO fell down at that time in the village close by. But however, at that time the CIA was in charge of the Shah, and so CIA, they went and picked up the part of the UFO that fell apart and sent it to USA. Because next day, all the villagers went inch by inch, but they did not find any parts, anything from it. So what happened? While it happened, shortly after that, the CIA went and exit. That part from Iran on the next day, this different flight to United States of America. So if you
remember
read,
that story. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and I think
yeah.
The pilot even was on a press conference with the Coalition for the Freedom of Information. I believe they had brought her to Washington, D.C. You remember that story, Grant? I'm sure you do.
Yes, oh yes. Yep, and that's...
Insight into that one?
That's one of the things, if you look at the 64 reasons, that's the kind of stuff that's going to be troublesome if you do come open with disclosure, is they can shut down your planes, they can do this, they're abducting people, that kind of stuff that even if the government did know, I think they're missing a lot of the pieces. And if you own the issue, then you have to explain, can it actually shut down an F-16? Are we that inept at? Are they trying to do? And unless you've got the answers, do you really want to take the issue? Unless you've got those answers.
Yeah, good point. Well, that's going to have to end it. We only got a couple minutes here, and I need to explain the next show. But go check out Grant's site at presidentialufo.com. Also, go check out BarackObamaUFO.com for the latest on the current administration coming into power in just a couple days. Also, you can go vote at that change.org there, and I'm sure they're going to be updating that site with a lot of information that's going to keep coming, because you know what? This subject does not stay quiet. Even though a lot of people in the public don't hear about it, we do, and a lot of people try our best to keep pressure on our government and in the media. So thank you very much for coming on, Grant. You're awesome, as usual. We'll have to talk about Canada and other presidents later on another show or another couple other shows. But thanks for coming on tonight.
Alejandro, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
All right, and coming up next week, so everybody knows, we're going to have Robert Powell. He is the director of research for MUFON. And like I mentioned earlier, this is a guy who, along with one of our radar experts, Glenn Schultz, who he actually got in contact with, petitioned the FAA through the Freedom of Information Act for information on radar data for the famous Stephenville sighting. And so he's going to come on and talk about what they found, because they were able to prove with FAA information that indeed there was an unknown in the area. So he's been fighting to get that information shown. And there is a lot of really cool stuff related to that research that he's doing for MUFON. We have a history research group, so he's gone to some sites and found some great stuff there. And also, we do have an abduction research team. A lot of people say MUFON's not interested in abduction and they don't believe in the ETs, but that's not true. We even have a group looking into it. So he's going to give us a lot of insight on that. So that's going to be a great show. But thanks, everybody, for joining me here today. If you're on Blog Talk, please favorite the show so you can be sure what's coming up here. Take a look at us. Go check out the YouTube videos. You'll find that on the right-hand side of the link. And tomorrow, UFO Not Radio is going to have Jeff Peckman on, so you're going to want to check that out. Thanks, and you guys have a lovely weekend.